everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the Day of Pentecost, Year C. We will be looking at passages from Acts 2, Romans 8, and John 14. Each of them presents a picture of what life is like living in the Spirit. What is that like? How does the Holy Spirit fit in your brain? Let's go see.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore the ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. The material for today's podcast is pretty familiar. Sometimes the challenge of making a well-known story fresh can be difficult. Looking at these passages with the intention of mining them for new approaches using multiple intelligence theory can be beneficial both for our congregations and for our own discipleship. Anytime and in any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started. The first lesson for Year C, Pentecost, is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This is a very familiar passage. You should know it. So we're going to just move on to what we're doing with this. We have a special effect for word, illustration and special effect for eye, special effect for music, special effect for nature, illustration and special effect for people, and an illustration for self-smart. David, you want to start with the word?
Sure. In the passage, of course, there's a lot of talking in different languages and a lot of people talking all at once, it seems like. So
the Tower of Babel revisited.
Right. And redeemed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
As it were. So a couple possibilities here in WordSmart would be to invite people during the prayers of the people to actually pray out loud and all at once.
That would be interesting.
Which would be interesting, yeah.
If your congregation's used to doing that kind of a thing, it'd probably be just like falling off a log. But if they're not, it might need a little bit of coaxing.
Yeah. So maybe before you get started, you get people thinking about what it is that they might pray about. And, you know, if you have a prayer list, go through that and say, mm-hmm. okay, who wants to pray for this? Or, you know, mm-hmm. which might take a little while. I don't know. But
yeah, figure out a way of priming the pump.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, just to get everybody praying out loud at once.
At the same time. Yeah. That would be interesting. I know we've tried that a couple times before, and it's people are a little ordered about that kind of thing.
They are, and hesitant. And, yeah. Particularly if you're the frozen chosen.
But,
so anyway, you could try that. Another possibility for WordSmart would be to invite people who speak different languages, either as their first language or as a second language, to read either a favorite Bible verse or maybe all the same verse, like John 3:16, in the different languages.
At the same time.
Not necessarily at the same time, but in
the different languages?
In a row.
Okay. Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
I remember one time at the Easter Vigil at seminary, the bunch of people stood up and I don't remember what passage they were reading, but some were reading in Greek, some were reading in German, and we had just a whole bunch of different languages. And they did all go, they started one at a time, but then at one point all of them were reading at the same time. And so there was kind of this chorus of different languages all reading scripture. Mm-hmm. And they all stood up from different parts of the sanctuary. I remember that too.
Yeah. So something like that.
Okay. For iSmart, we have illustration and special effect. For illustration, we're looking at the idea of the people seeing visions. And that reminded me of Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I've often seen that as being both a literal and a figurative admonition, that if you can't see the great big hole that's right in front of you, you're going to fall in it. So there's kind of a literal reading of that one. And the figurative reading is, if you can't see a way forward to God, you will circle the drain of despair. And if there's no revelation from God through prophetic message, the people act on their own. And sometimes that's not always the best option.
So that's kind of the historical way at it, because that's what happened to Israel.
Exactly, exactly. So see, sometimes seeing visions is not an hallucinogenic trip. It's being able to see what God intends. For a special effect, go back to our Advent podcast and revisit the baptism of fire, where you get the bowl of rubbing alcohol. If you've tried that before, people are going to know. They're going to be, oh, I know what's happening here. If you didn't get a chance to try it back in Advent, this is a chance to do it. So go back and look at that.
So burning isopropyl.
Yes, yes. It's very fascinating. And we also have some mention about it in our feedback loop. Yeah. Another option for a special effect for a visual representation is get long pieces of red cloth or rolls of red, orange, and yellow crepe paper and unroll them. You can go from the pulpit to the far corners of your sanctuary, up over the tops of the people's heads. And if you really want to make it interesting, have somebody standing at the end of that and waving it up and down so it's in motion. Mm-hmm. If you have a balcony, oh, this would be really awesome. Have somebody up on the balcony with the cloth or the streamers and have them at a particular time toss that down as the scripture passage is being read. Here it comes. There you go.
Unfurling it more than
as opposed to hurling it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that could be interesting. Well, yeah. Something else you could do would be to hang strips of red, orange, and yellow crepe paper from the door into and out of the sanctuary so that as people are entering and exiting the worship space, they pass through the fire.
For Music Smart, you're, of course, going to be picking Pentecost sort of hymns, I'm sure, but there are also a number of hymns that you can do in different languages. And I know in the Presbyterian hymnal from 1990, at least, there are transliterations and translations into Spanish and Korean
Native
American languages and a few others, I think, maybe. So pick one of those. And they're often familiar hymns.
The tune is familiar, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think Amazing Grace, they have a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, and things like that that people would probably know. And so do a verse in your usual language, which we're assuming to be English, but then have everybody try singing in another language. It's going to be sloppy and messy and uncomfortable, but so what?
Yeah,
have a go at it. It's a way of experiencing the different languages part of the passage, and it's also a way of extending hospitality to people who don't speak
English
as their first, and also a way of connecting with the larger church around the world.
Right.
So if you don't get the idea of why you might want to sing in a different language, you don't understand Pentecost, I think. So.
Yeah. For Nature Smart, we have a special effect, which is really kind of interesting. Break out the Christmas Eve candles and light them during the prayers of the people, those little tongues of fire.
Yeah.
For people, smart, we're looking again at our own native, when the people are amazed and hear the gospel being proclaimed in their own native language. As an illustration, talk about how learning another language means taking the time and the effort to know another culture, to know another people or another person even who speaks a different language. And it could be, it's not necessarily learning another language itself, but maybe learning how to speak our own native English in other ways. For instance, learning internet memes, learning what those little emoticons symbolize, learning colloquialisms, learning proper pronunciation. All of that takes time and effort and an immersion in the culture in which you were trying to learn that language, which does not go unnoticed. People notice the effort. They notice the time. They appreciate that. And then a relationship is built.
So for another People Smart illustration, Tom Wright, N.T. Wright, talks about God's kingdom breaking into the world as being an invasion where God retakes enemy territory or enemy-held territory that belongs to God, first of all. So Pentecost might be seen as like the Normandy invasion D-Day in World War II, establishing the beachhead for the invasion of taking back the land. And Jesus is kind of the spear point, but then here comes the expeditionary force through the apostles.
Cool. For a special effect, ask your congregation, what new language have they learned lately? And it, again, it might be something like internet memes or learning how to speak with your millennials. Or it could be for millennials learning how to speak with boomers. I mean, there's a lot of interconnection and back and forth on that. Or an actual new language. Maybe somebody is preparing for a trip abroad and they're trying to get themselves ready for that. And another thing you might ask your congregation to consider is, what would it be like for someone who doesn't speak your language to come to your worship service? And how might they experience your hospitality if that is the case? And what might you be able to do to extend hospitality to them?
For Self-Smart, we're going back to the dreams and dreaming dreams. And in this case, again, as we were mentioning before, it's not just dreams per se, your nighttime dreams, and not escapist fantasies, but we're looking at the blueprints for that invasion, I guess, for the way God is at work in the world, and ways that God is bringing hope and moving the kingdom forward. So,
and how we participate in that.
Right. Martin Luther King Jr.'s "I Have a Dream" speech is a way of thinking about that, illustrating
it's an excellent illustration of that.
The prophetic voice calling people to a different kind of future. And that's what God is doing in Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on.
The epistle lesson for Pentecost, year C, is Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. Hard to summarize such a short passage, but all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We don't have a spirit of slavery, but a spirit of adoption. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit that is bearing witness that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then co-heirs with Christ. If we co-suffer with Christ, and we will be co-glorified with Christ, as we'll hear in just a moment.
Yay.
So that's not much of a summary. It's almost a reading. And so we've got some word smart for you, eye smart, body smart, people smart, and self smart.
Okay, jumping in with word smart, as David already hinted at with the co prefix in English, in Greek is actually syn or
soon.
Soon, S-Y-N. Yeah. Anyway, it's attached to those particular words to suggest that there is a co-working relationship happening here. Our new relationship with God through Jesus means we experience everything the way Jesus experienced it. There's a lot of coexistence, co-happening, co-working in our new life in Jesus Christ. This new experience of being disciples and children of God is not passive at all, but one that takes everything in the same way that it did for Jesus. And this changes the intention of the idea of future salvation from being something that's up there in a heavenly realm to being an everyday calling to live life like this new relationship matters. Using that prefix as a special effect, look at those particular words, heir, suffer, glory. And how putting that prefix that makes them participatory, how does that make these solitary experiences a joint excursion with the risen Lord? And how does that change them? And are there other solitary experiences in our lives that would be either subtly or hugely altered because Jesus shares them with us?
Yeah, who knew that a prefix could make such a difference?
I know.
Yeah. For iSmart, the word spirit shows up 5 times in these 3 verses. 4 verses, whatever it is. So it's something that we need to be paying attention to, apparently, from Paul's point of view. It kind of triggered the idea that of a flag kind of thing, or a banner just flapping out there in the breeze. And so
attention.
Yeah, something that's supposed to be getting our attention. So we have this promise of God's presence through the Spirit, and that the Spirit is working with us, that co-working is happening. So something that we should be paying attention to. And a lot of times we don't give a lot of conscious thought to the Holy Spirit. In fact, Francis Chan wrote a book about the Holy Spirit that he calls Forgotten God.
We have a link to that.
Which we do. For some iSmart illustrations, there are some movies that we thought of that have these kind of visual cues of things to pay attention to. And sometimes you're aware of it, and sometimes it's subliminal. But
only catch it after you watch the movie the second time.
Right, right. Or at the end. And it's like, wait a minute, let me go back. And,
right.
which is sometimes how this we experience the spirit.
Yeah. Oh, hey, there's that.
In retrospect.
Oh, hey, so, looking back.
Yeah. Oh, look, it happened here and here and here and here.
Well, son of a gun.
Yeah. So one such movie is M. Night Shyamalan's The Sixth Sense. Now, the plot of the movie is not necessarily anything to do with Pentecost, except there's some spirits.
And kind of a love story, too.
Well, yeah. But the idea here is that the color red shows up in a number of places that you should be paying attention to.
And if you're seeing the movie for the first time and you don't know that, you don't get it until right at the very end or until somebody says, hey, did you notice the color red in that movie? And you go, oh, by golly.
Yeah. So we're...
That was significant.
We're that guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, the color red showing up is something to pay attention to in that movie. Similarly, in Schindler's List. Now, this is another very dark movie that doesn't have a lot to do with Pentecost, but it's shot in black and white. And there are just two or three places where Spielberg uses color to really bring your attention, and it's a turning point in the movie. Mm-hmm. So there's a little girl in a red jacket in particular, and the red shows up because everything else is black and white. Mm-hmm. So so it's something to pay attention to. And that's kind of what we're looking for here, is that idea of pay attention to this, pay attention to this, pay attention to this.
For Body Smart, we have a special effect. As this particular passage is being read, if you choose to read it, encourage your congregation to assume body postures of these things. Assume a posture of fear. Assume a posture of adoption, maybe of suffering, or of suffering with Christ, or of being glorified with Christ, or any other words that you think might be enacted by a body. The idea here in using the Body Smart is to get people to feel that in their body. And whatever they come up with, whatever posture is theirs. So, you know, if somebody lifts up their hands, that's what they do. If somebody else just kind of does something different, that's fine. Because everybody has their own physical manifestation of feeling these things. So that's just a way of getting the body involved in this particular passage.
For people smart, we're looking at the phrases, the spirit of slavery and then the spirit of adoption. With the spirit of slavery, we tend to think of this maybe as spiritual slavery. There's certainly part of that. There's maybe more to it than that, in that... and we hate to admit it, but we may actually be enslaved to things in our culture, things in our experience. So what might those things actually be? What might people actually be enslaved to? Job or financial circumstances,
a relationship.
An addiction, or, you know, whatever, sports, all sorts of things that enslave us. And yeah, this idea of slavery that has a spiritual dimension, but also our bodies, our minds, our lives are involved as well. And the reverse of that then might be this spirit of adoption. So slaves and servants have no right to inheritance, but children do. And even those who are brought into the family by adoption have a right of inheritance. So what would be the inheritance that we might be expecting to receive from God? What difference does it make that we have a right to receive it? And do we make use of that right? And what does that look like?
To explore these ideas of the spirit of slavery and a spirit of adoption, for a special effect, have your folks contemplate these two quotes from William Loder. One is, the spirit brings a sense of belonging, and Paul connects this sense of belonging to the confidence of knowing that one is a child of God. So have your congregation contemplate what it means to be a child of God and what kind of confidence that brings into them. And does that feel like they belong to something bigger than themselves? And then another quote is, what matters is the ongoing relationship, the marriage itself, not the wedding. So the idea of being glorified with Jesus Christ isn't necessarily the end goal, but it's part of what happens as we are in this ongoing day-to-day relationship. Maybe discuss how a sense of belonging and this new quality of relationship is the inheritance that we get from God.
Nice. For self-smart, we want to think a little bit about what Paul was doing here in saying that we have to suffer with Christ in order to be glorified with Christ. Now, he's almost certainly talking about suffering for righteousness' sake, or for the sake of the gospel, for the cause of God's love, mercy, and grace. our experience in Christendom, that is the cultural Christianity, where everyone is kind of assumed to be a Christian and the culture is assumed to be Christian, has led us to create a culture where Christians don't suffer for their faith. In fact, we're protected from it.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody is.
Everybody is, and there's no reason to be persecuting people for being what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But as we move into this post-Christian culture, then things are changing and people are standing up and saying, no, that is not my belief set. And no, right. I'm not a Christian. So in that case, we have people who are experiencing the differences as a kind of persecution just because people don't agree with them or don't hold their same values. And in some cases, even manufacturing suffering for their faith. And I don't think that's what Paul had in mind, but something to explore here. So what is he really thinking about in terms of suffering for the gospel? And what would you be willing to suffer for Christ or with Christ for the gospel and with the gospel?
Okay, moving on. The gospel lesson for Pentecost, year C, is from John chapter 14, verses 8 through 17, and then with 25 and 27 tacked on at the end. We're not doing anything with that, but if you want to go there, feel free. This is where Philip, having listened to Jesus' instructions about how to live without him, is a little confused and asks him a very pointed question. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus responds, been with you all this time. You still don't know me? And then goes on to talk about how he and the Father are together. And if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And then he expounds on that a little bit to say that whatever you do, whatever you ask in my name, so that God will be glorified. If you ask for anything, I'll do it. And then the last verses of the selection for the lectionary is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the first time we hear about the advocate. So we have, for this particular passage, body smart, we have an illustration, special effect. In music, we have an illustration. In nature, we have illustration and special effect. People, illustration and special effect. And in self, we have a special effect. So we're going to start with body. We're looking at Jesus saying to the disciples that the works that I do, you also can do. That this particular life of discipleship is going to be very participatory, as we saw in the Romans passage. This isn't a spectator faith. We actually do things.
Maybe you've seen the meme of Bear Stuffs, where there's a squirrel resting on his hands and says, "What you thinking?" And the bear says, "Oh, nothing, just Bear Stuffs, I guess." And so we might change that around. It's like, what you doing? Oh, Jesus stuffs. You know? Or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, the idea there is that we participate in what Jesus did. And in the special effect for body here, one of the things that Jesus did often was look directly at people and he touched people. Now, what we're going to suggest for this special effect could be a little intimidating, but it's an interesting experience, and it might have some deeper connection for your congregation. So be bold. Have people pair off and just simply look at each other. You know, we look at each other all the time when we're talking, but how often do we look at each other? We may notice things in looking at each other without conversing, just looking at each other that we'd never seen before, or we might come to appreciate characteristics of the other person that we've only given a glance to. If that's too much, this is another option. Have people pair off again or get into smaller groups and put their hands on one another's shoulders or, you know, join hands and just feel the warmth of the body contact. You might take the time to have people encourage one another to pray for each other or to just bless one another. May the Lord be with you. So there's a way of connecting in this unity that Jesus is talking about with himself and the disciples and the Father that you can experience through the body.
For Music Smart, we just have a suggestion, kind of connected with that one, of Amy Grant's song, My Father's Eyes. And it's a song about reflecting God's nature in our own lives. So that participatory nature, again, is what we're bringing out there. Nice song from her early days, her early career. Going on with Nature Smart, this passage in John, and anytime John talks about the Spirit, it's not nearly as big and brassy as Luke's version in Acts, which we've done with lots of special effects. In fact, it's much less about the special effects and much more about, as Alan Bream mentions in his article on the passage, it's much more about God getting down into the earthiness of it all and getting God's hands dirty and
working the soil
and just being connected with us and with what's going on. And so it's not the big special effects, it's digging in the dirt and getting the work done. And we have a link to Bream's article about that. So for a special effect, we might follow on with that idea and gather some seeds of different plants or pictures of them if you can't get your hands on seeds, and ask people if they can identify the plant that's going to grow from them just by looking at the seed.
If you've got horticulturists or gardeners, they've got a leg up on you there. But most people will probably not be able to guess. Who knew what carrot seeds looked like?
Right. So you want to point out that unless you have that knowledge, unless you have the experience, then you probably don't know what's going to come out of the seed until you plant it and let it grow. And so maybe go ahead and plant some of them and let them grow over the next few weeks and see what happens.
Good time of year for that here in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For People Smart, we're looking at the idea of the advocate. And much biblical scholarship has been written about this one. But essentially, the advocate, the paraclete that John speaks of in this particular passage, is best seen as a legal assistant. But maybe it could also be a nurse or a counselor or a teacher or a coach. A caregiver of some sort. But it's in essence, it is a person who is intimately acquainted with the situation in which you find yourself and can speak to that situation on your behalf. So for a special effect, you might want to ask your congregation to consider a time or discuss among themselves a time when they've needed an advocate. Maybe somebody needed a lawyer at some point in time. And have you ever acted as an advocate? Something you might be able to do is get in touch with a county child welfare office and invite someone to come talk briefly about their work. You know, do that special guest star thing that we talked about way back when we started this podcast. Or is there anyone in your congregation who has experience of lobbying on behalf of advocacy groups? And talk about why they chose that particular movement, how they got involved, what was the outcome of that advocacy. That could be really eye-opening. And then, of course, you know, keeping in mind the fact that Jesus advocates for us with God the Father. And so maybe open up that question among your congregation. If Jesus is advocating for us, what does that look like? And what does it look like that Jesus is also advocating on behalf of the world?
As another illustration for People Smart, with a little bit of humor to it, where Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's an old joke about a woman who gives birth to twins and puts them up for adoption. One is adopted in Egypt and is given the name Amal, and one is adopted in Spain and given the name Juan. And after many years,
they get in touch with their mom.
Juan seeks out his birth mother and sends a picture of himself, and she's just overjoyed. And she says to her husband, "Oh, isn't it nice that we have this picture of Juan? And if only we had a picture of our other son." And the father says, "Well, what for? If you've seen one, you've seen them all."
Ching.
You've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, there's a rhythm. Uh-huh. There's a rhythm thing.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. Okay, so.
You're so cute.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Tip your weight, Steph.
Try the veal. For Self-Smart, some years ago, there was a thing going around that's not quite as prevalent anymore, but WWJD, what would Jesus do? And Jesus promises in this passage that we will do the sorts of works that he has done and
even
greater ones, which is pretty amazing to think about.
Mind-boggling.
So what would be greater works than Jesus has done? And do we ever even dare to think about doing greater things than Jesus has done? Do we even bother thinking about doing the things that Jesus did, let alone greater ones?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, why not? I mean, do we not believe that we can do it? Do we not believe it would actually come to pass? Do we not want to? Are we afraid of succeeding at doing the things that Jesus calls us to do and even more? I don't know. So some things to go inside on there. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us comments on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or drop us an email at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you've tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got ideas that you like even better than ours, let us know what you've been doing and how it went. We'd love to know how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for our show notes, our links, and the resources on our website. We publish our worksheet on each text that we do, so you can see some of the ideas that don't make it into the podcast, or some extra notes that we might not have included. They could be helpful or might give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or just point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can also find us on the iTunes store. You can subscribe there directly, and while you're there, you can write us a review and share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So, in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.